as so many weeks, I could go without preaching because the music has said it all. So hopefully that last song spoke to your hearts the way it spoke to me. And you've heard the message, but I'm going to speak anyway. You know, deciding what to preach when you get only one shot is always interesting. So I was praying about it and thinking about it, and I thought I'd share with you what led me to our topic this morning. Two of Grace's leaders in the last few months have received cancer diagnoses. The Tuesday morning women's Bible study and the Thursday morning women's Bible study independently chose the topics of dealing with God when we go through various hard times. And I dare say your experiences within your hearts have some of those same questioning times when we go through hard times and we wonder, God, where are you in the midst of this? What do you want me to learn? How come I have to go through it? Those things. So, we're going to be looking today at how to deal with the times when we pray and God does not answer us in the way that we had hoped. Sound familiar? Okay. Both the Old and the New Testament deal with those, but we're going to begin with the Old Testament because I think it's important for us to look at the journey that God's people, the Israelites, made in the Old Testament, because there are a lot of parallels in it that God wants to use to speak to our hearts as well. So we're going to begin with the Israelites. Think about what you know about them. They were in slavery in where? Egypt. Good. Some of you know. Good. They were in slavery in Egypt, and then God led them. Many of us remember our times when we were in slavery, not in Egypt, but right here in the USA, slavery to sin. We've got some parallels. For the Israelites, God intervened in a miraculous way. I understand the Sunday school class next service is going to be dealing with that intervention. God always puts the pieces together. It's so cool to watch him work. So, he delivered them from that slavery through the 10 plagues in Egypt. He walked the Israelites through the parted Red Sea, and he headed them toward a land flowing with milk and honey. Story sounds good. Hopefully you can see the parallel in your own life. God's deliverance of us from our sin matches that story well. Unfortunately, so does the next part of the journey. The Israelites found themselves delivered, but smack in the middle of the wilderness and a long way from home. Feel familiar? Some days are like that for us. Isn't that our own situation? We have been delivered by Jesus from our slavery to sin, but we are not yet home. Our time here is that balance in the middle where we figure out what God wants us to do. Between our point of departure into our faith walk and our final destination is a pathway with many difficulties. Right now, or in the future, or maybe in the past, you walk in a wilderness. That's the nature of our lives, isn't it? Yeah. So, let's look at God's word to see what he has to say about it. 1 Peter 4:12 reminds us, beloved, that's what we are, God's beloved. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. Okay, we've got other people in the same kind of situation. And then we look at John 16:33. Jesus told us, in this world, you will have trouble. Not you might have trouble or maybe have trouble. No. In this world, you will have trouble. But he goes on, thank God. Take heart. I, Jesus, have overcome the world. One of our promises to tuck into our hearts for the time when we need it. Over and over again, both Old and New Testaments tell us that we will be journeying through our wilderness and we're supposed to be prepared. Now, there are several kinds of wildernesses. And before we go any further, I'm going to give you one example, but it's not the one we're focusing on today. I'm going to talk about Deuteronomy 1, and there are no slides for it. I just want you to listen to the story. This is the time when the Israelites came close the first time to getting into that land of milk and honey. God told Moses to appoint one from each tribe, so there were 12 people, and they called them spies. And they sent them into the land flowing with milk and honey to reconnoiter, to figure out what it looked like, and then come back and report to his people. So that's what they did. And they went in, and they looked around, and then they came back. And they brought with them some of the beautiful things from that country. And they said, this really is a land flowing with milk and honey. But that's where they had two different reports. 10 of them said, yeah, it's a land flowing with milk and honey, but you should see those people. They're giants. And we felt like grasshoppers, and I know that's what they saw us as too. Two of them, however, Jacob and Joshua and Caleb, sorry, I knew it was a J. Joshua and Caleb said, now wait a minute, yeah, that's the land. But who promised that we were going to get in it and take it over? Our God did. Our God is able. So we have 10 and we have 2. And it came back to the people. Guess which one they chose? They sided with the majority, which was wrong. And God heard it, and he was not happy with his people. And he said, okay, out into the wilderness you go, and you're going to have to wander around for 40 years until you learn my lessons. Now, that's a wilderness where the Israelites got themselves into it because they made the wrong choices. Not the kind we're talking about today, but I felt it was important to say that's one kind of wilderness. Sometimes we make wrong choices and we ended up in that kind of wilderness too, but that's not what we're talking about today. Wildernesses are not necessarily situations we enter because of bad decisions or poor choices on our part. Sometimes wildernesses just happen, right? In life, we have wildernesses that just happen. So we're going to look at Mark and the celebration of Jesus' baptism. Mark 1, 9 through 11 says, at that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my Son whom I love. With you I am well pleased. A high moment. But pay attention. What comes next in Mark? At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. Did you hear that? At Jesus' baptism, God proclaims, with my Son I am well pleased, and immediately the Holy Spirit, God, sends Jesus out into the desert to be tempted by Satan. No way can this wilderness experience be interpreted as a punishment or a poor choice by Jesus. Wilderness experiences happen. And when they do, we need to remember, they happened even to the sinless Jesus. God can take even those experiences to use for good in the lives of those who love God. That's one of the promises in his word. For now, for this morning, I want to focus on the type of wilderness experiences that just happen. While Jesus spent time in an actual desert wilderness, there are other kinds of wilderness experiences that we have. There's the wilderness of physical pain and illness. Some of us here today are ill. We're in pain. Some of us may have even faced a doctor who has said about us or a loved one, I'm sorry, there's nothing more I can do. Can God deliver us from physical illness or from injury or even from death on a battlefield? Absolutely. This morning, however, I want to deal with those times that primarily happen when he doesn't deliver us as we expect and hope. We mentioned physical pain and illness. There are other kinds of pain that we go through that are wilderness experiences. Some of them may be spiritual or emotional. Are you suffering grief over loss? Grief is one of the loneliest wildernesses we will ever face. We've prayed that our loved one might be spared, and he or she was not. We've prayed that we might be able to keep our job, and we lose it. We pray that our finances will not take that awful dip, and yet they did. Our prayers are not answered in the way that we had hoped. What do we do when we face that kind of wilderness? That's our focus for this morning. And to do that, we need to go to the Word again. We're going to head back to Daniel, first of all, and that's in your bulletin, Daniel 3, 8 through 28 we're looking at. But we're going to sort of break it down into pieces, so watch the screen up here. Daniel gives us an example we can learn from. You've heard this also, if you remember, from Pastor Michael. He spoke about this as well. So think with me. The Israelites have been carried into slavery, and King Nebuchadnezzar is now in charge of them. And we're looking at Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel. And King Nebuchadnezzar has decided that everybody needs to fall down and worship the golden image he had created, or else they're going to face a fiery furnace. That's the background to the scripture we have up here. If you were in that situation, as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were, probably my first prayer would be, "Oh God, deliver me from this fiery furnace. I don't want to go through it." Isn't that what we would usually pray? Well, you see up there, their response recorded in Daniel was a little different from that. What they said was, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." Wow, that's faith. Even if God does not. That's what I would have you remember. God is able to deliver you from any tribulation, from any trouble, from any pain, but sometimes he chooses not to. And like the three Hebrew children, when we cry out, "God is able to deliver us, but if not," we can know that he walks with us, as that song said, through the wilderness. Remember the rest of the story in Daniel? This is verses 24 and 25. As the king looked into the furnace, this is what he said. "Weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire? Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. And the fourth looks like a son of the gods." Remember that picture, folks. Even when you're going through the wildernesses that seem like you're totally alone, you are not alone. Our God is faithful, and he walks with us through the wilderness. He may not deliver us, but he will be with us. His promise in Matthew says, "I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." Remember, one of his names is Emmanuel, God with us. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego proclaimed, "Our God whom we serve is able." And when they were cast into the fiery furnace, not even their hair was singed. When they came out, they didn't even smell like smoke. Those men of God knew God could save them if such was his will. But even if he didn't, they chose to obey and praise him. Now, lest we think that that's only one example, I have some other ones here. And if you've looked in your bulletin, I don't want you to look at it now, but there are some other things I could have done two sermons, so there's more in there for you later. Other biblical characters. Think of Job for a minute. You know Job. Lots of troubles in his life. Yet Job said, though God slay me, yet will I hope in him. There's a scripture for us to remember when we go through those hard times. Habakkuk. Another one. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls. In other words, total poverty, folks. Nothing to eat, even. Yet, Habakkuk says, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to walk on high places. Old Testament story so far. Now I want you to think about Paul, one of our New Testament characters. What does Paul have to do with this? Well, in 2 Corinthians, he talks about a thorn in the flesh. He had one that obviously was painful in some way or other, not defined for us. Three times he prayed, God, take this away from me. What happened? God didn't. And Paul embraced God's answer and continued to serve him and trust him in his weakness. Now, what about Jesus? He, after all, is our pattern as well as our Savior. His life teaches us what God would have us do. So let's look at Jesus. In the Garden of Gethsemane, on the night he was betrayed, think about that. What did Jesus do first? He prayed. And he prayed his personal desires for the situation. His prayer, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Our example, our way to deal with it. God wants us to lay our personal desires at his feet in prayer. And yet after his personal prayer, Jesus got to the proclamation of faith. Yet not my will, but yours be done. By his actions, by his life, Jesus declared to us, God is able to save me from this, but even if he does not. And we know the rest of the story. God did not take the cup of the cross from Jesus. And through that awful wilderness experience for him, you and I were saved by Jesus to have a relationship with our loving God. Wilderness experiences can lead to joy in God when we trust. This same Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, is the source of every blessing. Some of us are grieving. Some may not know how to face tomorrow. But in the midst of all that, our God is faithful. Jesus is now at the right hand of God. He didn't stay on the cross. He went back to be with him, and he is interceding for each and every one of us. Sinners that we are, he loves us. He is providing for us in ways that we cannot see. Look to him. Trust in him and his promises. God will walk with us through our personal wildernesses and all the way to our promised land. What a promise from our Lord. Now, is that promise for everyone? If we have trusted in Jesus to forgive us of our sins, if we've asked him to come in and be Lord of our lives, then we have become a child of God, and this promise is for us. If there is anyone here, anyone at all, who has not yet depended on Jesus for salvation, today's your day. It's your opportunity to make that decision, to ask Jesus to fill you, to cover your sins, to be Lord of your life, that he might walk with you in the midst of all those things. If you are ready to make that decision, then today is the first day of the rest of your life. And those promises that we've talked about in the Word are for each of you as well. When we do that, when we ask Jesus to be in charge, then each of us can trust God to walk with us through any wilderness that we face. And he will lead us safely to the land of overflowing with milk and honey, our promised land that he has created for us. To God be the glory. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we are blown away by that kind of love. So right now, we bring you the experiences that we have that trouble us, that we have brought to you before, and yet have not seen the answers that you want, that we want, but we know that you have the answers that you want. So draw us close to your heart this moment, Lord. Help us to walk with you, to trust in you, to know that you walk with us because your word says that that is true. You promise that you will never leave us orphans, but you will be with us and in us, and how grateful we are for such a gift. In the powerful and precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.